Osho, My Way, The Way of the White Clouds. Discourse number 7, given at the Osho Commune International, Pune, India.
Bhagwan, would you talk to us about our living partners, our wives, husbands, and lovers? When should we persevere with a partnership, and when should we abandon it as hopeless or even destructive? And does partnerships from previous lives affect our present-day partnerships?
The relationship is one of the mysteries. And because it exists between two persons, it depends on both. Whenever two persons meet, a new world is created just by their meeting. A new phenomena comes into existence, which was not before, which never existed before. And through that new phenomena, both the persons are changed and transformed. Unrelated, you are something else. Related, immediately you become something else. A new thing has happened. A woman, when she becomes a lover, is no more the same woman. A man, when he becomes a father, is no more the same man. A child is born. But we miss one point completely, that the moment the child is born, the mother is also born. It never existed before. The woman existed, but the mother never. And a mother is something absolutely new. A relationship is created by you, but then in its turn, relationship creates you. Two persons meet. That means two worlds meet. It is not a simple thing, very complex. The most complex. Each person is a world unto himself or herself. A complex mystery with a long past and with eternal future. In the beginning, only peripheries meet. But if the relationship grows intimate, becomes closer, becomes deeper, then by and by, centers start meeting. When centers meet, it is called love. When peripheries meet, it is acquaintance. You touch the person from the without, just from the boundary. Then it is acquaintance, and many times you start calling your acquaintance your love. Then you are in a fallacy. Acquaintance is not love, and love is very rare. To meet a person at his center is to pass through a revolution yourself. Because if you want to meet a person at his center, you will have to allow that person to reach to your center also. You will have to become vulnerable, absolutely vulnerable, open. It is risky. To allow somebody to reach your center is risky, dangerous. because you never know what that person will do to you. And once all your secrets are known, once your hiddenness has become unhidden, once you are exposed completely, what that other person will do, you never know. The fear is there. That's why we never open. Just acquaintance, and we think that love has happened. Peripheries meet, and we think we have met. You are not your periphery. Really, periphery is the boundary where you end. Just the fencing around you. It is not you. Periphery is the place where you end and the world begins. Even husbands and wives, they may have lived together for many years, maybe just acquaintances. They may have not known each other. And the more you live with someone, the more you forget completely that the centers have remained unknown. So the first thing to be understood is, don't take acquaintance as love. You may be making love. You may be sexually related. But sex is also peripheral. Unless centers meet, sex is just a meeting of two bodies. And meeting of two bodies is not your meeting. Sex also remains acquaintance, physical, bodily, but still acquaintance. And you can allow somebody to enter you to your center only when you are not afraid, when you are not fearful. So I say to you that there are two types of living. One fear-oriented, one love-oriented. Fear-oriented living can never lead you into deep relationship. You remain afraid, and the other cannot be allowed to penetrate you to your very core. Up to an extent you allow the other, and then the wall comes and everything stops. Love-oriented person is the religious person. Love-oriented person means one who is not afraid of the future, one who is not afraid of the result and the consequence, who lives here and now. That's what Krishna says to Arjuna in Gita. So don't be bothered about the result. That is fear-oriented mind. Don't think what will happen out of it. Just be here and act totally. Don't calculate. A fear-oriented man is always calculating, planning, arranging, safeguarding. His whole life is lost in this way. I have heard about an old Zen monk. He was on his deathbed. Just the last day has come, and he has declared that this evening he will be no more. So followers, disciples, friends started coming. He had many lovers. They all started coming. From far and wide, people gathered. One of his old disciples, when he heard that the master is going to die, ran to the market. Somebody asked, "The master is dying in his hut. Why you are going to the market?" The old disciple said, "I know that my master loves a particular type of cake. So I am going to purchase the cake. It was difficult to find the cake because now it has gone out of fashion. But by the evening, somehow he managed. He came running with the cake. And everybody was worried as if the master was waiting for someone. He will open the eyes and look and again close the eyes. And when this disciple came, he said, "Okay, so you have come. Where is the cake?" The disciple produced the cake and he was very happy that the master asked about the cake. Dying, the master took the cake in his hand, but his hand was not trembling. He was very old, but his hand was not trembling. So somebody asked, "You are so old and just on the dying. The last breath is soon to leave you. Your hand is not trembling." The master says, "Because I never tremble. Because there is no fear. My body has become old, but I am still young. And I will remain young, even when the body is gone." Then he took a bite. He started munching the cake. And then somebody asked, "What is your last message, master? You will be leaving us soon. What do you want us to remember?" The master smiled and said, "Ah, this cake is delicious. This is a man who lives in the here and now. This cake is delicious. Even death is irrelevant. The next moment is meaningless. This moment, this cake is delicious. If you can be in this moment, this present moment, this presentness, the plenitude, then only you can love. Love is a rare flowering. It happens only sometimes. Millions and millions of people live in the false attitude that they are lovers. They believe that they love, but that is their belief only. Love is a rare flowering. Sometimes it happens. It is rare because it can happen only when there is no fear, never before. That means love can happen only to a very deeply spiritual, religious person. Sex is possible for all. Acquaintance is possible for all, not love. When you are not afraid, then there is nothing to hide. Then you can be open. Then you can withdraw all boundaries. And then you can invite the others to penetrate you to the very core. And remember, if you allow somebody to penetrate you deep, the other will allow you to penetrate into himself or herself. Because when you allow somebody to penetrate you, trust is created. When you are not afraid, the other becomes fearless. In your love, fear is always there. The husband afraid of the wife husband afraid of the husband. Lovers always afraid. Then it is not love. then it is just an arrangement of two fearful persons depending on each other, fighting, exploiting, manipulating, controlling, dominating, possessing, but not love. If you can allow love to happen, there is no need for prayer left. There is no need for meditation left. There is no need for any church, any temple. You can completely forget God if you can love, because through love everything would have happened to you. Meditation, prayer, God, everything would have happened to you. That's what Jesus means when he says love is God. But love is difficult. Fear has to be dropped. And this is the strange thing, that you are so much afraid and you have nothing to lose. Kabir has said somewhere that I look into people, they are so much afraid, but I can't see why, because they have nothing to lose. Says Kabir, they are like a person who is naked but never goes to take a bath in the river because he is afraid where he will dry his clothes. This is the situation you are in, naked with no clothes but always afraid about the clothes. What have you got to lose? Nothing. This body will be taken by the death. And before it is taken by death, give it to love. Whatsoever you have got will be taken away. Before it is taken away, why not share it? That is the only way of possessing it. If you can share and give, you are the master. It is going to be taken away. There is nothing which you can retain forever. Death will destroy everything. So if you follow me rightly, the struggle is between death and love. If you can give, there will be no death. Before anything can be taken away from you, you have already given. You have made it a gift. There can be no death. For a lover, there is no death. For a non-lover, every moment is a death, because every moment something is being snatched away from him. The body is disappearing. He is losing every moment. And then there will be death and everything is annihilated. What is the fear? Why you are so afraid? Even if everything is known about you and you are an open book, why fear? How it can harm you? Just false conceptions. Just conditionings given by the society that you have to hide, that you have to protect yourself, that you have to be constantly in a fighting mood. That everybody is enemy. That everybody is against you. Nobody is against you. Even if you feel somebody is against you, he too is not against you. Because everybody is concerned with himself, not with you. There is nothing to fear. This has to be realized before a real relationship can happen. There is nothing to fear. Meditate on it. And then allow the other to enter you, invite the other to enter you. And don't create any barrier anywhere. Become a passage. Just always open. No locks, no doors on you. No closed doors on you. Then love is possible. When two centers meet, there is love. And love is an alchemical phenomenon. Just like hydrogen and oxygen meet, and a new thing, water, is created. You can have hydrogen, you can have oxygen. If you are thirsty, they will be useless. You can have as much oxygen as you want, as much hydrogen as you like, but the thirst will not go. When two centers meet, a new thing is created. That new thing is love. And it is just like water. The thirst of many, many lives is satisfied. Suddenly you become content. That is the visible sign of love. You become content, as if you have achieved everything. There is nothing to achieve now. You have reached the goal. There is no more goal. The destiny is fulfilled. The seed has become a flower, has come to its total flowering. Deep contentment is the visible sign of love. Whenever a person is in love, he is in deep contentment. Love cannot be seen, but content, the deep satisfaction around him, his every breath, his every movement, his very being, content. You may be surprised when I say to you that love makes you desire less. Because desire is with discontent. You desire because you don't have. You desire because something you think, if you have, will give you contentment. Desire is out of discontent. When there is love and two centers have met and dissolved and merged, and a new alchemical quality is born, contentment is there. The whole existence as if stopped. No movement. Then the present moment is the only moment. And then you can say, ah, this cake is delicious. Even death doesn't mean anything to a man who is in love. So I say to you, love will make you desire less. Be fearless, drop fears, be open. Allow some center to meet within you. You will be reborn through it. A new quality of being will be created. This quality of being says there is God. God is not an argument. It is a fulfillment, a feeling of fulfillment. You may have observed that whenever you are discontent, you want to deny God. Whenever you are dissatisfied, your whole being wants to say there is no God. Atheism is not out of logic. It is out of discontent. You may rationalize it. That's another thing. You may not say that you are discontent. That's why you are an atheist. You may say there is no God and I have got proofs. But that is not the true thing. If you are satisfied, suddenly your whole being says there is God. Suddenly you feel it. The whole existence becomes divine. If love is there, you will be really, for the first time, in the feeling that existence is divine and everything is a blessing. But much has to be done before this can happen. Much has to be destroyed before this can happen. You have to destroy all that creates barriers in you. Make love a sadhana. Don't allow it just to be a frivolous thing. Just don't allow it to be an occupation of the mind. Don't allow it just a bodily satisfaction. Make it an inner search and take the other as a help, as a friend. If you have heard anything about Tantra, Tantra says that if you can find a consort, a friend, a woman or a man who is ready to move with you towards the inner center, who is ready to move with you to the highest peak of relationship, then this relationship will become meditative. Then through this relationship you will achieve the ultimate relationship. Then the other becomes just a door. But let me explain it. If you love a person, by and by, the periphery of the person disappears. The form of the person disappears. You become more and more in contact with the formless, the inner, and the form becomes by and by vague and disappears. And if you go deeper, then even this formless individual starts disappearing and melting. Then the beyond opens. Then that particular individual was just a door, an opening. And through your lover, you find the divine. Because we cannot love, we need so many religious rituals. They are substitute and very poor substitutes. A mirror needs no temple to go. The whole existence is her temple. She can dance before a tree and the tree becomes Krishna. She can sing before a bird and the bird becomes Krishna. She creates her Krishna around her everywhere. Her love is such that wherever she looks, the door opens and the Krishna is revealed, the beloved is revealed. But the first glimpse will always come through an individual. It is difficult to be in contact with the universal. It is so big, so vast, so beginningless, endless. From where to start? From where to move into it? The individual is the door. Fall in love. And don't make it a struggle. Make it a deep alliance for the other. Just an invitation. And allow the other to penetrate you without any conditions. And suddenly the other disappears and God is there. And if your lover or beloved cannot become divine, nothing can become divine in this world then all your religious talk is just nonsense. This can happen with a child. This can happen with an animal, your dog. If you can be in deep relationship with a dog, it can happen, the dog becomes divine. So it is not a question of men and women only. That is one of the deepest sources of the divine, which reaches you naturally. But it can happen from anywhere. The basic key is this, that you should allow the other to penetrate you to your very deepmost core, to the very ground of your being. But we go on deceiving ourselves. We think we love. And if you think that you love, then there is no possibility. Because if this is love, then everything is closed. Make fresh efforts. Try to find out in the other the real being that is hidden. Don't take anybody for granted. Every individual is such a mystery that if you go on and on into him, it is endless. But we get bored with the others because just the periphery and always the periphery. I was just reading one story. A man was very ill and he tried all type of pathies and nothing will help. And then he went to a hypnotist. And the hypnotist gave him a mantra, a suggestion, to repeat that I am not ill. Continuously, at least 15 minutes in the morning, 15 minutes in the night, that I am not ill, I am healthy. And the whole day, whenever you remember, repeat it. Within few days, he started getting better. And within weeks, he was absolutely okay. Then he told his wife that this has been a miracle. Should I go to this hypnotist for another miracle also? Because lately I am feeling no sexual appetite. And the sex relationship has almost stopped. There is no desire. The wife was happy, he said, you go, because she was feeling very frustrated. The man went to the hypnotist. He came back, the wife asked, what mantra, what suggestion now he has given, but the man will not tell her. But within weeks, his sexual appetite started returning. He started feeling again desire. So the wife was very much puzzled. He continuously persisted asking, but the man will laugh and will not say anything. So one day she tried, when he was in the bathroom in the morning doing his meditation, that 15-minute mantra. So she tried to hear what he is saying. And he was saying, she is not my wife. She is not my wife. She is not my wife. We take persons granted. Somebody is your wife, relationship is finished. Somebody is your husband, relationship is finished. No, there is no adventure. The other has become a thing, a commodity. But the other is not now a mystery to be still searched. The other is no more new. And remember, everything goes dead with old. And the periphery is always old. And the center is always new. The periphery cannot remain new because it is getting every moment old. It stays. The center is always fresh and young. Your soul is neither a child, nor a young man, nor an old man. Your soul is simply eternally fresh. It has no age. You can experiment with it. You may be young, you may be old. Just close the eyes and find out, try to feel how your center is. Old, young, you will feel that the center is neither. It is always new. It never gets old. Why? Because the center doesn't belong to time. In the process of time, everything becomes old. A man is born. The body has started becoming old already. When we say that the child is 1 week old, it means 1 week oldness has penetrated into the child. The child is already past 7 days towards death. He has completed 7 days of dying. He is moving towards death. Sooner or later, he will be dead. In the process of time, whatsoever comes in time becomes old. The moment it enters time, it is already becoming old. Your body is old. Your periphery is old. You cannot be eternally in love with it. But your center is always fresh. It is eternally young. Once you are in contact with it, love is a every moment discovery. And then the honeymoon never ends. If it ends, it was not a honeymoon at all. It was just an acquaintance. And the last thing to remember always is, in the relationship of love, you always blame the other if something goes wrong. If something is not happening as it should, the other is responsible. This will destroy the whole possibility of future growth. Remember, you are always responsible. And change yourself. And drop those qualities which create trouble. Make love a self-transformation. As they say in salesman courses, that the customer is always right. I would like to say to you, in the world of relationship and love, you are always in the wrong. The other is always right. And this is how lovers always feel. If there is love, they always feel something is wrong with me if things are not happening as they should. And both feel the same way. Then things grow. Then centers open. then bondage merge. But if you think that the other is wrong, you are closing yourself and the other, and the other also thinks that you are wrong. And thoughts are infectious. If you think the other is wrong, even if you have not said it, even if you are smiling and saying that you don't think the other is wrong, the other has got the point. Through your eyes, through your gestures, through your face, and even if you are an actor, a great actor, and you can just arrange your face in such a way, your gestures, then to the unconscious continuously sending signals that you are wrong. And when you say that the other is wrong, the other starts feeling that you are wrong. The relationship is destroyed on this rock, and then people become closed. If you say somebody is wrong, somebody starts protecting, safeguarding, then closer happens. Remember always, in love, you are always wrong. And then the possibility will open. And the other will also feel the same. We create the feeling in the other. And when lovers are close, immediately thoughts go on jumping from one to another. Even if they are not saying anything, they are silent. They communicate. Language is for non-lovers, those who are not in love. For lovers, silence is enough language. Without saying anything, they go on saying. If you take love as sadhana, as inner discipline, then don't say the other is wrong. Just try to find out somewhere something must be wrong in you and drop that wrongness. It is going to be difficult because it is going to be against the ego. It is going to be difficult because it will hurt your pride. It is going to be difficult because this will not be dominating, possessing. You will not be more powerful through possessing the other. This will destroy our ego, that's why it is going to be difficult. But destruction of the ego is the point, the goal. From wherever you like to approach the inner world, from love, from meditation, from yoga, from prayer, whatsoever path you choose, the goal is the same, the destruction of the ego. Throwing the ego away. Through love, it can be done very easily. And it is so natural. Love is the natural religion. Anything else is going to be more and more unnatural. And if you cannot work through love, it will be difficult for you to work through anything else. And don't think much about past lives. And don't think much about future. The present is enough. And don't think that relationship is coming from the past. It is coming, but don't think about it, because then you will get more complicated. Make things easier. It is going on. From your past lives, things have a continuity. So I don't deny the fact. But don't get burdened by it. And it will continue in the future, but don't think about it. The present is too much to solve. Munch the cake and say, this cake is delicious. And don't think of the past and don't think of the future. They will take care of themselves. Nothing is discontinuous. You have been in the past. You have been in relationship. You have loved, you have hated, you have made friendship, and you had made enmity. And that continues, known, unknown to you. It is there always. But if you start brooding about it, you will miss the present moment. So think as if there is no past, and think as if there is no future. This moment is all that is given to you. Work it out. This moment as if is the all. Behave. This moment is the all, and work it out. How you can transform your energies into a loving phenomena this very moment. People come to me and they ask, they want to know about their past lives. They had past lives, but it is irrelevant. Why this inquiry? What you are going to do about the past, nothing can be done now. Past is past and it cannot be undone. You cannot change it. You cannot go back. That's why nature in its wisdom doesn't allow you to remember past lives. Otherwise you will go mad. You may be in love with a girl, and if you suddenly become aware that that girl was your mother in your past life, things will become very complicated. Then what to do? And that girl has been your mother in past life. Now making love to her will create guilt. Not making love to her will also create guilt because you love her. That's why I say nature in its wisdom never allows you, unless you come to a point where it can be allowed. When you become so meditative that nothing disturbs you, then the gates open and all your past lives are before you. But they open only, and there is an automatic mechanism. Sometimes that mechanism doesn't work. Throw some accidents. Some children are born who can remember, but their lives are destroyed. One girl was brought to me a few years before. She remembered her two past lives. She was only 13 at that time. But if you looked in her eyes, they looked near about 70. Because she remembered 70 years. Two past lives. Her body was 13 years old. But her mind was 70 years old. She couldn't play with other children. Because how an old woman of 70 years can play with children? She will type, talk, behave like an old woman. And she was burdened, worries of all those years in her mind. She remembered so accurately that her two past families could be found. One was in Assam, another in Madhya Pradesh. And when she came in contact with her old families, she became so much attached with them that it became a problem where she should live now. I told the parents that leave this girl with me for at least 3 weeks So I will make an effort to help her forget, because this girl's life will be a perversion. She cannot fall in love with somebody. She is so old. Because your oldness is concerned with your memory, the memory expansion is of 70 years, then you feel like 70. And she seems so tortured, her face, the features, all tortured. And she seems so ill at her center, uneasy, uncomfortable. Everything seems to be wrong. But the parents were enjoying the whole thing because people started coming. And the newspapers started giving the report. They were enjoying the whole thing. They won't listen to me, and I told them this girl will go mad. They never brought the girl again to me, but after 7 years they came. The girl had gone mad. They said, now do something. I said, it's now impossible to do anything. Now only death will be a help to her. You don't remember, because it will be difficult for you to manage. Even this life you are making such a mess. Many lives remembered, you will simply go mad. Don't think about it. It is irrelevant also. The relevant point is be here and now and work out your way. If you can work it out through relationship, beautiful. If you cannot work it out through relationship, then work it out in your loneliness. These are the two paths. Love means working out your path through relationship, and meditation, working out in your loneliness. Love and meditation, these are the two paths. Feel which will suit you, and then bring your total energies and move on that path. Anything?
Bhagavan, your words are so beautiful, and yet we feel there's another communication also when you're talking to us. Would you talk about the silent communication and how we can be more open to it?
It is always there. While I am talking to you, I am also being to you. And talking is relating to you through the intellect. And being to you is relating to you with my totality. And while you are listening to me, if you are really listening, then it is not only a listening of the words. Listening to me, your mind stops. Listening to me, you are not thinking. And when you are not thinking, you are open. And when you are not thinking and your mind is not functioning, you start feeling. Then I can overwhelm you. I can move and fill you. And words are used only as a device. I myself am not interested much in words. But I have to speak, because this has been my feeling. While I am speaking, you become silent. If I am not speaking, then you are speaking within you. and you are not silent. If you are silent without speaking me, then there will be no need. And I am waiting for that moment when you can just sit by the side, just sit near me, not thinking. Then there is no need to talk. Because talk is partial, then I can come in my totality to you directly. No need for any mediating words. But if I tell you to sit silently near me, you will not be able to sit silently. You will go on chattering. You will go on talking within. Inner talk continues. To stop your inner talk, I have to talk to you. So while I am talking, you are engaged. My talking is just like a toy given to a child who goes playing with the toy and becomes silent, absorbed. I give you my words as toys. You play with them, and while you are playing with them, you are so absorbed, you become silent. And wherever, whenever silence happens, I can flow into you. Words can be beautiful, but they can never be true. Beauty is an aesthetic value. You can enjoy it, just like a beautiful painting. But nothing much will happen out of that enjoyment. It is good as far as it goes. But words are never true. They cannot be by their very nature. Truth can be communicated only in silence. But this is the paradox. All those who have insisted that truth can be communicated only in silence, they have all used words. This is the same, but nothing can be done about it. Words have to be used to make you silent. While listening to me, you become silent. That silence is significant. And that silence will give you glimpses of truth. Even if you have glimpses of truth in my words, that glimpse comes through your silence, not through my words. Even if you feel absolutely certain that whatsoever I am saying is true, that feeling of absolute certainty comes through your silence, not through my words. Whenever you are silent, truth is there. Whenever you are chattering inside, the monkey chatter goes on in, you miss the truth which is always present. Whatsoever I do, talk to you, help you to meditate with me, force you into a catharsis, or persuade you for a dance, for a celebration. Whatsoever I do, only one is the aim, somehow to help you to become silent. Because whenever you are silent, doors are open. You are in the temple. How you become silent is not relevant. You become silent, and then I am within you. You are within me. Silence knows no boundaries. In silence, love is happening. I have become a lover to you, you have become a lover to me. in silence, all that is significant happens. But to bring silence is a problem, arduous. So I am not much interested what I say to you. I am interested what happens to you while I am saying anything X, Y, Z. Sometimes I go on contradicting myself. Today I say something, tomorrow I will say something else. Because what I say is not the point. My saying is just like poetry. I am not a philosopher. I may be a poet, but I am not a philosopher. Tomorrow I will say something else, day after tomorrow, something else. That is not the point. My sayings may contradict, but I am not contradictory. Because today I say something and you become silent. Tomorrow I say something absolutely contradictory and you become silent. Day after tomorrow I say again something absolutely contradictory. With all that I have said, it contradicts it, but you become silent. Your silence is my consistency. I am constantly consistent, contradicting on the surface, but the inner current remains the same. And remember, if I say the same thing every day to you, you will not be silent. Then you will get bored and your inner talk will start. If I go on saying the same thing, it will become old. And when it is old, you need not listen it. Or even without listening, you know what I am saying. So you can continue your inner talk. I have to be inventive. Saying things, shocking you sometimes. But one inner consistency remains, that is to create silence in you. Because then I can be with you and you can be with me. The love, the truth can flower there. Whenever there is silence, truth flowers. It is a flowering of silence. Enough?